Vegas. KRLV Las Vegas.
Now, time for the official Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
It's Smith, left circle, feeds the middle, score! Lindbergh! Big shot, score! It's England! Out in front, they score! Shipachev! Belmar flips ahead, Nozick, score! Now here's Tuck, he shoots, he scores! Alex Tuck, his first in the National Hockey League! Perron in the middle, he shoots, he scores! Vegas wins in overtime! David Perron, 5-4, Golden Knights!
And welcome in. Good Wednesday. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman behind the board. And another exciting victory, the Vegas Golden Knights, 7-1 after their 4-2 victory against Chicago. And I would argue that it might not have been as close as the final score.
And for the new kids on the block, that's a .667 winning percentage against the original six.
Yeah, so they are definitely getting the job done there. And joining us right off the bat, the Executive Vice President of Hockey Operations of your Vegas Golden Knights, Kelly McCrimmon joins us. Kelly, thanks for making time and stopping by today.
Yeah, happy to do it. Thanks for having me, guys.
No, always a pleasure. The Golden Knights, 7-1. Obviously, they're not just the biggest story here in Las Vegas, but you could argue that they're the biggest story in the sports world right now. And we're talking about with the NFL going on and the World Series happening and that. This 7-1 start seems to have captured the imagination, the intrigue, and basically has put the eye on Vegas for the Vegas Golden Knights. Did anybody in their wildest dreams think that this team would start out this good?
Well, I think it has been a really good story, and as you touch on, one that is gaining interest in a lot of areas, not just here in Las Vegas. I think that it's been exciting for our players. They've really come together well. They've played a real good team game, and we've been able to get off to a great start. So we're excited about it, and looking forward to try to build on it.
We've noticed the fans that have come in from out of town to enjoy a game that even in defeat, they sort of leave the arena with a smile on their face because there's not that angst and that built-up hatred you have maybe when you've gone against Boston for years or Detroit for years. Everybody loves Vegas. Have you noticed that feeling in the building and around the league when people come to town?
Yeah, I have noticed, and I think it's two things. I think people come to Las Vegas to enjoy themselves, and there's been a lot of interest from fans of teams that are playing here. And then the point you made, I think, is a good one. It's hard to hate us just yet over time, and rivalries, playoff series, and all the things that go on between sports teams. Like, likely that'll come, but I think at this point, people begrudgingly respect and admire the things that we are able to get done. I think that the other thing that we really see and hear from fans of visiting teams is how much fun games at T-Mobile are to attend, and it's a great atmosphere, and you can see how much our fans are enjoying it, how much they're part of it in terms of the support and the excitement in the building for our players.
You know, Kelly, it's interesting, too, because when you see these games and you see the fans in their other teams' jerseys or sweaters, if you want to be correct from the hockey terminology of it, when the games are over, I always find it amazing how many people go down to the armory to pick up some Vegas Golden Knights gear, hats, T-shirts, whatever. And over at City National Arena, when you see people from other places come in, I know the Can-Am tournament just took place over there with all the different age divisions and things over there. And you see everybody getting the Golden Knights gear, even when they're wearing somebody else's jersey. And I've been to a lot of different hockey games in a lot of different cities before, and I can't remember ever seeing that.
Well, I think that our situation's a little unique. It is Las Vegas, but in the NHL, there hasn't been expansion for 17 years. And I don't think anyone would have anticipated, if you go back to May and June, how prominent a story we were in the National Hockey League, in all the other 30 cities, as you know, fans of those teams were, you know, predicting what we might do with respect to the players we'd select, and it really became tremendous exposure for our organization, and I think had a much greater reach than anybody would have expected. Now I think you add the fact that we've had an exciting start to the season, and I think that it's it's kind of the same thing. Now people I think are paying attention to us a little bit. I think we're a lot of those people's favorite or second favorite team, I should say. So I think at the end of the night, they're still happy to try to take some Golden Knights gear or memorabilia or merchandise home with them.
I was really happy, Kelly, to see you join the Vegas Golden Knights in the front office, because you've sort of been a kind of guy that it's not really any opportunity that you wanted. It was the right opportunity. You had a chance to join the Maple Leafs back in 2015. You didn't see that as maybe the best place for you to go ahead and make the move. You saw Vegas as that. Can you kind of walk us through that decision?
Well, I've had other opportunities before taking the job here in Vegas, and for whatever the reasons might have been, the timing just didn't work out with the team that I own in Brandon in the Western Hockey League. And when George approached me, the opportunity to work with a successful, experienced general manager was appealing. When he talked about the ownership and the support and the resources that were going to be available, and then the whole opportunity to go through an expansion process was going to be something that, as excited as we were before we started, I don't think we ever could have imagined how fulfilling and enjoyable that whole process was. So when you look at those at those different pieces of making the decision, it just seemed like this was the right choice for me, and certainly in hindsight, I think a real great decision in terms of me enjoying what I'm doing and the people that I'm working with.
Vegas Golden Knights Executive Vice President of Hockey Operations Kellen McCrimmon joining us here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Kelly, when the team first did their draft on the expansion draft night, we all kind of looked at the players, and a lot of people went, this team could be fairly decent. I mean, they could be competitive. They might be an all right team, especially for an expansion team. One thing that I don't think anybody necessarily thought on that night was there might be a problem of too much depth and finding playing time for everybody. But that seems to be the case. When you have guys like Alex Tuch and Vadim Shipachev and Shea Theodore down in Chicago, now I know a couple of those guys have been brought up here, but, that's due to injuries and things like that. When you saw that first night, you saw the initial roster, did you think at that point it's like, wow, it might be a hard time to find enough spots for everybody that deserves to be on this roster?
Well, there were some things that had to play out, and I think at the forward position and in goal, outside of our health and goal, but I think in terms of who our players are, who they're going to be, I think it's taken pretty good shape at those two positions. On defense is where we've had a real challenge getting enough ice time for the number of defensemen that we have, and I guess in reality it's a it's a byproduct of the template that we had for expansion. We felt that we had access to some good defensemen, and when it all played out and we made our selections, that's where the majority of our depth was. So we're still a little ways away from being exactly where we'd like to be, but we are getting closer. And I think the one thing that having played 8 games, we sure are getting more comfortable that we've got good makeup, good people. We were put a real premium on selecting good people in our expansion draft, not just guys that we thought were going to be good players, because we really want to try to develop an identity, build a culture, and you need good people to do that. So we're I think real comfortable with that part of it. We just need to get a couple more things done here in order to get our roster more manageable.
Kelly, one of the things that we engage with the fans most about is the roster and roster moves, and that's a thing that people like to tweet about, they like to email us about, call about, talk to us at the arena about. And I know you can't get into specifics of certain players, but I was hoping that perhaps you could sort of talk the audience through how those decisions are made. Who's a part of that meeting? How does the process work from ownership but to the general management staff to the coach?
Well, I think that for the most part, these decisions at this point are the responsibility of management. And I can appreciate fans talking about this, asking questions about this. It's a little bit it ties back really to the template that was used for expansion. If you understand the rules of the collective bargaining agreement, which can get a little bit tricky, we didn't have access to very many players who were waiver exempt, that meaning that they could be sent to the American Hockey League without having to clear waivers. We were able to select some good players, but they all, for the most part, had to be able to go through waivers. So that made managing our roster a little trickier than it will be for our team in the future, that it is day-to-day for most of the other teams in the National Hockey League. And not complaining about that, that's just one of the realities. It has put us in a situation where probably some frustration from fans or people asking questions about why we're doing what we're doing. But there's a bigger picture in mind. I think that with George's leadership, we've got a real good handle on what we're trying to do. I touched on it a little bit earlier in the interview. It's going to take us a little more time, and we're hoping to get there sooner than later, and then that's going to be less of an issue for us.
The 7-1 start, like we said when we first started talking to you, is a start that basically nobody saw coming from anywhere, certainly not all the hockey experts or so-called experts all around the country and all around the world for that matter. Is there any negative to that start whatsoever? Has expectations now gotten a little bit high and the city is so pumped right now on that you guys might make a move down the road and somebody might say, wait, how come you did this or something? And when you're building for the future and the road down below, but the fan base not might understand that it's big picture and not necessarily all about this year, because right now the frenzy is so rampant in this town.
Well, I don't think there's ever anything negative about winning or your fans being excited. So that's over the 8 games, that's kind of what's taken place. Personally, I think it's fantastic that we've had a homestand in October when we're just beginning our inaugural season, that we've had the chance to get our fans engaged, that we've had some success to let them enjoy it with us. And you're 100% right. There's a lot of hockey to be played. There's a bigger picture to be mindful of. There's a balance that we're going to try to strike with our organization, where we want to be extremely competitive and want to make sure that we're developing players and improving day to day. And at the same time, the goal is to one day bring a championship to Las Vegas. So those are all the different elements of building this franchise, and yet make no mistake, our players are playing to win every single night that they go out and play. Our coaches are coaching our team the exact same way, trying to win every time that we play, and that's never going to change.
We've seen the injury bug bite a bit with Marc-Andre Fleury, with Malcolm Subban, but we also haven't seen Clayton Stoner. He went on injured reserve to start the year. Reed Duke was injured during preseason. Is there anything you can tell us about Clayton Stoner and Reed Duke and how they're doing?
Well, Reed had surgery earlier in the year, so he's rehabilitating here with the team. I think his rehab has gone well. Clayton was in a situation where he battled a lot of injuries last year that continued to give him trouble this year, so his timeline would be a little bit harder to predict. The goaltenders, as you mentioned, pretty uncommon that you'd lose your starting goalie and your backup goalie. So that part is definitely, you know, presented a little bit of a challenge. And yet, as is the case in sports, these injuries always open up opportunities for people too. So Malcolm Subban, in the short time he had to have the net to himself, I thought made a real good impression and would have gained some confidence, playing some games, getting some wins in the NHL, and then, you know, a real nice story last night with Oscar Dangs getting his first complete game victory, I guess, in effect, that's his second win because he came on in relief on Saturday against St. Louis. But, you know, it's part of the game, and, you know, we've been real fortunate that guys have been able to step up, even with the forward position, with Marchessault and Holla both missing some time with injury. We've been able to, that's how Alex Tuck got back up into the lineup, and certainly he's played exceptionally well with his opportunity.
Kelly McCrimmon, Executive Vice President of Hockey Operations, Vegas Golden Knights, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. You know, one thing that I'm almost finding a little bit comical, Kelly, when I look around, because it seems like now everybody's trying to explain why Vegas is as good as they are. They point to some stats and say that it's smoke and mirrors. We saw a columnist in Chicago say that the other day. People are coming up with the Vegas flu. They're saying the competition hasn't been that good. Well, we just beat St. Louis and Chicago the last two games, two perennial powerhouses around the league. What's it going to take for this team to get the respect that they deserve? To me, it seems like if they go on the road and they still win, then people might finally have to admit that, you know what? They're a pretty darn good team out there.
Yeah, you're right. We have a good challenge in front of us. Of course, Friday, our last game of the homestand on Nevada Day, which is going to be a real neat game for our players. 3 o'clock start, wearing our white jerseys at home for the first time, and then a six-game road trip, through the Eastern U.S. into Canada, where we're going to play against some real good teams. So that's going to be, a real good test, a real good measuring stick for our team. And, as I said earlier, I think that our guys are going to be in every game, and, a lot of games in the National Hockey League are going to be 3-2, 4-3, 2-1 type games. We want to try to make sure we keep ourselves in games. Our team has proven to be pretty resilient even when playing from behind, and it'll be a great trip for our team. And of course, without knowing what the results are going to be, I think regardless, to get on the road, to be together as a group, to play in some tough buildings, I think is going to be really good for the growth and development of our team.
We, and as the rest of the fan base as well, got to know Cody Glass, Nick Suzuki, Eric Brandstrom, Nick Hague well when they were at their development camp, and have sort of followed them at the beginning of the juniors. In your role and job, what is your role and your involvement in their development and the decisions that are made regarding what teams they move to in the future and how soon they move up the ranks?
Well, it's a good question, because scouting and drafting is the foundation really for any team that's going to be able to be a championship worthy team. But then from draft day, you have to also really focus on the development of your players, and that's Will Nickel leads the development side of our organization with his position, but the organization as a whole has got a real vested interest in how those players are doing, where they're playing, what they need to work on, what they're doing with their strength and fitness, what they're doing with nutrition, all of those things that play such a role in how much a player improves from 18 to 22 or 18 to 23 years old. Those players that you mentioned are real good young prospects, guys that are going to be a big part of our future, and will be very involved with each of those players from now till the time that they are here playing in Las Vegas.
Now, Kelly, we truly appreciate the time that you have given us today, because I can only imagine how often you're on the phone. How often are you and George McPhee not on the phone with the start that this team has had and other teams inquiring about some of the players on the Golden Knights?
Well, it's been a busy time, but it's busy in a good way. We're doing what we love to do. We're excited about how well the team is playing, and it comes with the territory, I guess. We're happy to do it.
Yeah, and so once again, that 3 o'clock start time for Nevada Day on Friday, get over there and make sure you be part of it, because then they're going to go on a road trip for a little while for the next 6 games. So it is certainly excitement at T-Mobile, and for all the naysayers that said, oh, you can't bring a hockey team out here, it can't work in the desert here in Las Vegas, well, so far, everything is a just positive, and thanks to you and George and Gerard Gallant and Bill Foley and everybody else for making this happen, because the excitement level out here is ramped up to a level that I've never seen it at before.
Yeah, it's been tremendous, and you know, you mentioned Bill Foley and his family. It's got to be real exciting for them personally, and gratifying for bringing the first pro team to Las Vegas, and you know, I'm sure he's enjoying it as much as anyone.
All right, thanks a lot, Kelly. We'll see you over at City National again tomorrow when the players are back out on the ice.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Kelly McCrimmon there. And, boy, I'll tell you what, the foresight they have, and I can't even imagine how often that phone is ringing in those offices. They must have it just on a silence right now to just see the light flashing or something like that, or else the ringing would be just nonstop.
And, you know, we chronicle injuries here every day, Frank, looking over at, you know, who's been hurt and who's going on IR, and there's a lot of teams with a lot of needs that the Golden Knights could fulfill. So I'm sure they're trying to make decisions not just for the next few months, but this whole season, and projecting it over the next 3 years. And that's the real trick and the real key. How well does your crystal ball work?
Yeah, so they're still basically playing that hockey version of chicken. Who's going to blink first? Do the Golden Knights make a move to clear up some stuff, or does the GM finally say, look, I can't wait for you guys to throw somebody on the waivers or something like that. We need help now.
Yeah, and just a quick note to Frank about that 3 o'clock game on Nevada Day. That's Friday the 27th against the Colorado Avalanche. There are still a limited number of tickets available in the lower level, and they're doing a special promotion at VegasGoldenKnights.com in honor of our 702 area code. They're offering special $70 20-second tickets for that game at VegasGoldenKnights.com.
And your first chance to see them wearing their white road jerseys on the home ice. Hey, if you would like to go to that game, we have 2 pair of tickets to give away today, but we'll do that a little bit later on, so stay tuned for that. We have not one, but 2 pair of tickets to give away for Friday's game. When we come back, well, we'll get some player interviews. We'll also go over last night's game, another thrilling win. 7-1 Vegas Golden Knights. The excitement is incredible in this town. And you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Left point, Brad Hunt. Cross to the right side. Miller shooting. He scores! Tipped home by Carlson. Tie game. Power play goal. Golden Knights coming on the right side. Tough angle shot. Crawford. Trickling puck goes in! Derek Englund shot it. Crawford was handcuffed. It trickled behind him and into the goal. Center point, Spezza. Back across to the right now. Marchessault on the left. He shoots and scores! Marchessault! 4-1 Vegas! Power play goal! The offensive zone. Go to the fourth liners. No six. Centering! Oh, what a shot! Belmar delivers! And now it's off to the races. Here come the Blackhawks. Sharp down the middle. Sid gets to his left. Denies Sharp on the breakaway.
And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman in here with you, and we will give away those tickets in just a little bit. We have 2 pair to give away for Friday's game with a special early start time, and tomorrow we're going to be downtown at the D at the View Bar up there, so to make sure that everybody has time to do everything, because Friday is a Lotus holiday, so the offices won't be open, so we're going to do that today to make sure that you have time to come down here and do what you need to do to get those tickets. All right, last night's game. 4-2 victory over Chicago. And I got to tell you, I've watched a lot of Blackhawk games. That Blackhawk team, they were out of sync. They looked like they didn't necessarily know what they were doing. I don't know how much of that is them and how much of it is the Vegas Golden Knights. I do think Vegas is playing extremely well. And let's not take anything away whatsoever from young Oscar Dansk, who played a great game. He shut down Patrick Sharp on a breakaway, and he faced Patrick Kane a couple times, basically one-on-one, and he did not blink, he did not flinch, and he made the saves.
I think when you go back and look over a game, Frank, there are several key moments that tell the story of how things are going to play out. And the first one for me was right after giving up the shorthanded goal, that on that power play that they gave up the shorty, that William Karlsson was able to equalize immediately. Because those shorthanded goals, as you know, Frank, are just deadly.
Oh, yeah. They can be – they're a huge momentum lift to a team that gets them, and they can be a momentum crusher to the team that gives it up. But, yes, it was a bad giveaway, and Hayden for Chicago came in. He made a goal early on. But from that point on, not only did they score that power play goal, but it's kind of like – Dansk went, okay, wait, we're in a game again here. Mm-hmm. Oh, now my teammates have tied this up. Now I got to pull my weight as well. And from that point on, it was a 100% consummate team effort.
Mm-hmm. Second big moment for me, the two, was right after Ryan Hartman took his double minor. And the NHL did announce that he's been fined $2,320 for that slash on Braden McNabb, which is the maximum allowable fine under the collective bargaining agreement. But right. He took that double minor, which Chicago killed off. But the real star of that was Nosek and Belmare getting the goal, not a power play goal, but just after that 4 minutes has expired and all the momentum that Chicago had built up by killing the 4 minute double minor was quickly erased.
Yeah, and you could see it. Chicago looked tired, but they kind of looked like, oh, we breathed a sigh of relief. But it wasn't over yet because they were tired. The other line came out. They were fresh because they weren't in the power play, and they took advantage. And that's what they kind of did. And I know we kind of joke about it, and some people say, oh, well, come on, the first line, second line. And Coach Gerard Gallant says he doesn't recognize lines. He doesn't have them. Well, obviously he does. Everybody does. Everybody has a top line, and those are the guys you put on your power plays, segments one and two as well. But there is some reality to that. This team, unlike a lot of others, the minutes on ice and the time that you get out there does seem a little bit closer together from the top line to the other lines because it does seem like Turk believes in each one of the lines and he gives them all ample opportunity to show what they can do.
Not just closing the gap on equal time, but the situation, Frank, that those guys are in. There's a lot of trust that he has in Carrier, Nosek, and Belmare, and you will see them come out at the end of power plays right when some of the elite scorers have had a two-minute rest, and Gallant knows that those guys are coming over the wall, that he will put that unit out there, even if there's 10, 15 seconds left on the power play, in order to have the matchup that he wants when that penalty ends.
And that goal ended up being the game winner because Kane did get that very late goal at 18:55 to make it the 4-2 final. And after the game, some of the media got together in what they call a media scrum where a bunch of guys are out there. And Pierre-Édouard Belmare, he addressed them. And the first question was about that goal, the third goal of the game.
Really, really good game today. Did you feel the same?
Well, yeah, we played simple, simple game. We did what we've done before, but the difference that tonight we got bounces with us. It went our way. I mean, the first goal is a great shot from Engo, but then if Nosey doesn't go into the net, then the puck doesn't go in. So it's those kind of goals that we're going to have to be ready to score. Like Peter Price, he went there, that hurt, but he scored a goal, so that's cool.
How important is that goal off of the four-minute power play? The team doesn't score 4 minutes, and then you guys get that one.
Yeah, I think it's an important one, especially for the momentum. We all know when you're not successful in the power play, the other team, I mean, when we kill 2 minutes, like right away, everybody's feeding on that, and I think that was the perfect time for us to score a goal. Thank you.
You're rewarded with the goal, but a lot of block shots again for you today. Just talk about that team mentality helping out your goalie.
Well, this is it's as simple hockey as it can be. If you don't have the puck, you have to be ready to defend. And sometimes when you have the puck, you have ready to defend anyway. So this is the way we play on our line. And tonight, like, I don't think it might not work like this every single night, but it was a night where we helped the team, so that's cool.
People, the last couple of games, have made South, St. Louis, Chicago is a big test for you guys. Obviously, you've gotten through that. What does it say at this point?
Well, I think we've been working pretty smartly. We like I said tonight, the time when we give them chances, it's the time when we kind of sit back a little bit and look at them. And this is pretty much what we did against St. Louis. Let's face it, St. Louis wasn't our best game so far. And I think tonight was a much more complete game. And if we want to be successful through the entire season, we're going to have to play more this way. Every shift is important, and you try to don't give any chance to those big guys.
You mentioned sitting back. You guys didn't do that in the third period.
Well, you learn from your mistake a bit.
Well, just that one, but the third period's kind of been an area of focus. What went right for you guys today?
Well, I think we just kept playing. And then I think a lot of the plays were a little bit harder and stronger. When we came to the blue lines, we got the puck out, and then like we paid the price to put the puck in. And then if you do that, and you keep rolling like this, I mean, you're going to kill 20 minutes pretty fast.
Next man up is a phrase that we keep hearing over and over again with this team. 8 games in, it seems like it's the next man up again. Is that how you guys feel?
Yeah, it's fun that it's working this way. We definitely, I don't think anybody of us, like, see, okay, that guy hasn't had any point, and then tonight it's going to be his time. But it's fun that it's going this way because everybody's getting confident. And if you have a team that is confident, then you can win seven like this.
How did it feel to get that first goal and hit the back of the net?
I'm not going to lie. It felt nice, especially, like, after, you know, when you don't score on a power play. Like, I knew that they might get momentum if our shift wasn't strong, and we knew that. Like, the coach were talking about to us about it. They were telling us, have a great, strong shift, and lucky enough, the puck go down, we work it, we outwork them, the puck go back in front, and I'm standing there waiting. So I don't know if it's going to work every night, but that one felt really good.
What's different about this room? It might be different from some of the other teams you've played on, where you guys just seem to gel and you're all on the same page.
To be honest, I think the fact that we are a brand new team like this, we are, like, when you come to a new team, you, if there is a core already, you have to kind of do an effort to involve yourself and to learn all the other guys. The guys that have been already there, they don't really have to do that job, right? Because they're there already. But now we were from the start of the camp, like 25 guys that didn't know each other. So we had to make an effort to try to learn where the guys is from and everything. And you kind of get a connection pretty fast because of that. And I think that we are all eager to show how good we can play and how good we are for the team. And as long as we're going to play this way, that the team is going to come first, I think we should be fine.
Pierre-Edouard Bellemare with the media after last night's game. And 7-1 Vegas Golden Knights getting ready for their final game of this homestand. And if you would like to go to that game, we got 7 wins. We'll take call number 7. 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Chris will take your calls, and good luck on those phone lines. And we still have another pair of tickets we'll be giving away for that game on Friday as well. Remember, special 3 p.m. start time for Nevada Day. So if you have the day off, head on over there. If you don't have the day off, take off early. Get on over there. You don't want to miss this team.
You do not want to. And they're going to be gone for quite a while, Frank. Folks are going to have to come out and find us, join us around the city for the watch parties on the road. Just 4 home games in November. So take advantage on Friday while they're still in town.
And if you'd like to join us tomorrow, we'll be downtown at the View Bar at the D, checking out the zip line and all the craziness that is down there. Then, of course, Friday we'll be over at T-Mobile. We do know that on this road trip, our first few games are going to be at either Born and Raised or the Parkway Tavern up here, 215 in Flamingo. So you can come and join us for that. We'll have the pregame, of course, the intermission reports, and the postgame show. And, of course, we'll be sitting back and watching the game with everybody else as well. So we'll see how they do on the road. And all those games will also be earlier because they're traveling to the East Coast. So those are going to be 4 o'clock games out here locally. So, again, skip out of work a little bit early, check out the games. It's going to be a great time.
And some of these traditional heavyweights, too, Frank, Islanders, Rangers, the Boston Bruins, and then up through Canada with the Ottawa Senators, Toronto Maple Leafs, and Montreal Canadiens.
And if the Vegas Golden Knights continue to win when they go on the road, then people are going to finally have to start admitting they're a pretty good team. Now, if they do lose, which they could, we don't know yet. It's very early in the season. That could happen. If they do lose, then you know everyone's going to say, well, see, it was the Vegas flu.
The Vegas flu. Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be the first time, really, that they've been out of the time zone, with the exception of the one preseason game that they played in Denver in the Mountain Time Zone. This will be the first East Coast swing, so the first look and the first shot at those 4 o'clock puck drops.
Are you looking forward to seeing the white jerseys on Friday?
I do. I like the white jerseys. I like the white jerseys a lot. I was sad when the NHL made the change. Everybody used to wear white at home and the color on the road, and I liked that. And I didn't like the change when it came to color at home.
Yeah, I was used to the white at home as well. I mean, that's what I kind of grew up with. I can take it either way. I'm more concerned about the game. I don't necessarily see what they wear. I am curious to see if Friday being the closest Golden Knights game to Halloween this year and it being Nevada Day, if we're going to see some people dressed up a little bit funky and kind of strange and stuff like that, if maybe Chance won't be the strangest looking thing in the T-Mobile Arena.
What do you dress up as if you are Chance?
I don't know.
A knight.
A knight?
Yeah. Could be. I don't know.
Well, they already have a knight. Maybe the knight will dress up like Chance, and maybe Chance will dress up like the knight. Little Halloween action. Maybe they'll do a little smoke and mirrors action. And the highlight for me last night was talking to William Karlsson, and when I asked him about smoke and mirrors, he didn't quite understand what that meant. And I said, well, basically, you're winning with trickery and magic. And he kind of laughed it off and said, well, we're working really hard. And he said, no magic.
but on the Vegas Strip, isn't magic one of the things that built the Vegas Strip? Yeah, there's magic acts all over the place.
Lance Burton used to perform right next door at the Monte Carlo, and you've got Chris Angel right down the street. And
yeah, I mean, Siegfried and Roy were staples in this town forever. Melinda, the first woman of magic. Go way back.
Copperfield. Yeah.
I mean,
no Doug Henning, though.
No Doug Henning. What I think would be fun to see is just what all happens at Madison Square Garden on Halloween. So that's the...
That might be kind of crazy. Well, who knows? We might see some people at the parties that we're doing out and about for Halloween dressing up in some wackiness. So we'll see. We have mentioned a few times today that a lot of people are still not giving the Golden Knights credit. I don't think that's necessarily the case here in the city, because I keep on getting texts and that, when are we planning the parade? Where is it going to be? Well, slow your roll on that a little bit. The Stanley Cup is far from here, but it is a great start and a great story. One guy who did kind of give him a little bit of credit last night was the coach, the head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks, Joel Quenneville. And they asked Joel Quenneville about the Vegas Golden Knights and what made them so difficult to play against.
Yeah, give them credit. They had a lot of structure to their game. Not a lot of time, not a lot of space. They might have been quicker in certain areas. I thought we were in a great spot there, killing that four-minute penalty, but... they scored the big goal. It kind of took the momentum away from us.
Part of the strategy to be really aggressive on the young goalie is actual first whole game, second appearance. Took some shots early on, but he really stepped up.
Yeah, he played well. I know that we didn't get to test him the way we would have liked, whether traffic or just enough point shots or zone time to get some quality looks. But he was fine. But we were we didn't press enough.
So they're blaming his team a little bit, which he should do, and that's what coaches do. But he at least he did give Vegas credit and said that they were faster than we maybe thought they were. But, yeah, they knew that they were a good team from watching the film, and that I don't think they really knew that they were as good as they are.
I think it's been a shock to a lot of people that this team, they play a good, solid team game. And you try to pull out, who's the star of the show, who is the person that you try to shut down. And, James Neal obviously has the most name recognition, but they're getting significant offensive output from the entire roster. With William Carrier's assist last night, he became the 21st Golden Knight to record a point, and that is more players than any other franchise this season.
By the way, congratulations to Jeremy. He won those Vegas Golden Knight tickets for Friday. Stay tuned, because we're going to give away another pair very soon, pretty quick here around. So you'll get another chance to get another pair of those tickets. Another player that we've had a chance to talk to quite a bit, got to know. He's a nice guy. Tomas Nosek, he also had a goal last night, and the media caught up with him after the game. And, well, they asked him about that goal.
Yeah, it was they had a bad change. Hansi gave me two packets, flip it over my stick and goes to the corner. We got a turnover and Willie's really passing to me behind the net. And I saw the D's coming to me, so I knew the belly is there alone. So I knew right away I'm going to pass there.
And your goal reminded me of the home opening goal you scored, where you just kind of, from the blue line in, you just took off and none of the Blackhawks saw you. Can you just walk out and play?
Yeah, I mean, every time if you go to the net, you want to score a goal for sure. So you go to the net, good things happen.
The Belmare goal came at a very pivotal time. Nothing on the power play. Can you just talk us through that play and what that meant to the rest of the game?
It was a good play from Willie. How I said before, he gave it to me, and I saw the demons coming, so I knew it. So I'm gonna pass to Belly right away. It helps the team. That's what we wanted to do. Our forward line help the team win or get the momentum back or get a good chase going, and that's what we do.
How does it feel knowing that Prescott puts you into that situation, knowing that that's a pivotal moment? Good shift from your line.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard, you know, if you're sitting on a bench for 10 minutes, but that's our game. We need to stay focused for every shift, and every shift we need to create something and be good for the team. Helps.
Because of conversations on the bench during that 4-minute power play where you guys know you're up next after the power play's over, is there a conversation about how important that shift is?
We don't have to have a conversation. We know how important is every shift for us, you know. Especially after the power play when they send out the tapes or can line. So we need to. That's what coach tell us after the power play. We focus for them. So yeah, I mean, there's no need to have a conversation before the shift. We know every shift for us is stay focused and play hard.
Why did you guys have such good results tonight? Your line collectively.
I mean. I think we had a chance last couple of games too, but we couldn't find a net, so that's what happened tonight, and we are happy for two goals that we scored our line. Yeah.
And there you have it, Tomas Nosek, and a good line, a successful line. They work hard, they play hard, and they scored in last night's game once again. In fact, he had an assist on one of the goals as well. But
on the Belmar goal, yeah.
Yeah, so Belmar, one of the stars of the game last night, along with Riley Smith and the number one star. No big surprise to me, young Oscar Dansk.
Yeah, and it always cracks me up when I hear sometimes on those interviews and they ask, you know, are you surprised how well you did against, you know, some of these teams or blah, blah, blah. You know what's the same about Tomas Nosek and Patrick Kane? They have the same job, Frank. They have the same job.
Yeah, I believe they're both in the NHL as professional hockey players.
That line, though, is very they play really well together, and they've been together since the beginning of the season. Will Carrier is a guy who I think does not get the credit he deserves because he's unbelievably fast. He hits, and he does a lot of the dirty things, you know. And you constantly, when you watch Belmar, he's always on the ground taking pucks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. When we come back, if you don't realize how great this start is, we'll tell you how some other expansion teams did in their first 7 games through the season. And if you'd like to go to Friday's game, just be calling number 10 right now, 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Back to wrap it up, caller 10, you're going to Friday's game. Compliments of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Good luck. Welcome back. Final go-around here on a Wednesday. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Congratulations to Brandon. He was our winner, so both pair for Friday given away today. Found this and found it a little bit interesting. Didn't get to it yesterday because we had a full show, Clayton, but I was looking at some of the other expansion teams in recent history and the starts that they were off to after their first 7 games. Remember the San Jose Sharks when they started in 91-92?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were 1-6-0 after 7 games.
Stumbling.
The Ottawa Senators' record through 7 games when they started, 1-6-0.
Oh, yeah.
Same as the San Jose Sharks. How about we look at the Tampa Bay Lightning? Much better. 3-3-1.
Oh, that's pretty good.
500 team. That's pretty good.
They beat the Blackhawks in their first game. Guy scored 4 goals for them, I believe. I can't remember who it was, though. Chris Kantos, maybe?
Yeah, well, I mean, but the bottom line is they were 3-3-1, so a pretty good start. And you're right, they did beat the Blackhawks 7-3 in their first game to help start that season 3-3-1. The Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. Remember back when they were the Mighty Ducks, 93-94?
That was great.
They were 2-3-2, so not horrible. Pretty good start. The Florida Panthers, 2-2-3 in their first 7 games. So this 7-1 start is pretty darn good. How about the Nashville Predators, the team that we saw in the Stanley Cup Finals last year? Know what they were after the first 7 games?
No.
1-5-1.
1-5-1. How about that?
So 7-1. People, this is historic. This is groundbreaking. This is amazing. And yes, I know we say it, and I know we're the Golden Knights Insider Show. 100 years of the NHL, this has never been done.
Mm-hmm.
Never been done in 100 years. I don't know what happens from this point on. Are they a legitimate playoff contender? Will the roster stay the same? Will they make some moves? Things are going to happen. It's a long season. There's no guarantee they're going to the playoffs. But this start, and when this city needed it the most, and the way that they've combined to come together with each other, absolutely phenomenal, and I couldn't be more excited or happy.
And just a perspective, the Arizona Diamondbacks went 65-97 their first year, and they won the World Series probably faster than any other team. And the NBA in the Heat, Miami Heat, widely regarded as the most successful expansion franchise, they won 57 games combined in their first three seasons.
Foley might have to change his little slogan.
Yeah.
Playoff and one, and we're far from done.
Yeah, I like that.
How about it? I just made it up.
Put that on a t-shirt.
I better get that copyrighted before somebody steals it from me. All right, for Clayton Hamilton, thanks to Kelly McCrimmon for joining us. TC Martin's next. Thanks to Chris Chapman as well. And, of course, tomorrow we are downtown at the D at the View Bar, because Friday we will be over at T-Mobile Arena for that special 3 p.m. hockey game, Nevada Day. Have a great evening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow live from downtown at the D. TC's next, Fox Sports Radio.